Welcome to Compassion Radio 360.
Good morning, honey. It's the end of the week. Time for Compassion Radio 360.
Yeah.
A look at the world and see what's happening out there. Try to find some kind of spiritual root underneath it all that hopefully encourages our listeners. Today's story is kind of fun in that it's real tender, but there's a serious problem that it addresses too, and it's probably one that's touched a lot of us in the past few years. It has to do with the ache of the heart, and when things go beyond just feeling bad, what happens when it goes to its worst?
Yeah, this story is a happy ending story, thankfully. So many people that are caught up in a mental health crisis, as this young man we're going to read about is in this story, are misunderstood, maybe not cared for as well as this young man was. But I like the way this story goes. I think that it is a positive note for us to remember in all of the negative stories that we hear about law enforcement around the country. It does give me hope in that area of concern.
It also reminds me that going through adversity pushes us one way or the other. And the officers that are involved here, it turns out both of them are veterans, as many officers are. And they went through a lot of hell in the past 20 years as they fought for our country in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And the kind of camaraderie that got them through tough times is, I think, at the heart of the story.
Well, this story takes place in Michigan, Macomb County. And this young man is driving to work. They call him Joe, which is not his real name. But he pulls over on the side of the road because he's feeling overwhelmed. He's feeling just so emotional, like he just can't face going to work at this point. So he pulls his car over, and apparently he calls his mom, and he's talking to her a little bit. But a concerned driver passes by and sees this young man and decides to call the police, making sure that he's okay.
And seeing someone passed out in their car these days can be pretty serious business. Mm-hmm. There's so much happening with the fentanyl crisis and people even taking recreational drugs that can be really dangerous. You and I run into it ourselves in the cities across this country. We've seen people die from this. So I imagine the citizen driving by is thinking the worst.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they called. And I'm glad that Deputy Thorne is the one who showed up. And as is protocol for officers who pull up to situations like for traffic stops and checks, they have body cams on. So he has the body cam going and he approaches the vehicle, knocks on the window, and Joe rolls down the window and he says, you know, am I being pulled over? He's basically concerned that he's in trouble. And Officer Thorne says, no, someone just saw you and was concerned and called in to have us check on you. What's going on? Can I help you with something? They have a brief conversation about things that are going on in Joe's life that feel overwhelming. We don't hear the whole conversation.
Right. We just hear echoes of that later in their later conversation, mm-hmm. which mentions a brother. And it's possible that he's lost a brother or some tragedy's happened to the family.
So Joe tells him that he's feeling down and he needs a break. He didn't feel like he could face work just yet. And another officer pulls up as well and asks Joe, are you wanting to hurt yourself? Making sure that Joe is safe in that sense. And he says, no, I don't want to hurt myself. I'm just really sad. I'm just feeling really overwhelmed and I don't know what to do, feeling kind of out of it. And they encourage him to see a counselor or to talk to somebody. He says, I've done that.
The officer goes back to his car, looks up some numbers, comes back out and talks to him again.
Yeah. And he says, what can we do for you right now, Joe? How can we help you right now? And Joe simply responds, I could use a hug. And Deputy Thorne says, I can do that. So Joe gets out of his car. This officer wraps his arms around this young man and gives him a big old hug. And Joe begins to weep. You can hear the sobs coming from this young man. And the camera has gone dark because they're in this hug. But you can hear him sobbing. And even when they backed away from the hug, the young man just doubles over onto the ground, basically, and sobs. And the two officers just stand there kind of protecting him, really. I think they're just making sure that he feels safe.
And this is in the middle of a snowy road.
Yeah.
In a place where you probably would need the cover. You know? If another motorist came by at high speed, they'd all be in danger. They've got their lights on, literally are covering around the vehicle, providing a safe zone for him. As long as this kid needs to just decompress whatever the hurt is he's experiencing at that moment, they give it to him. And they show a highlight video of about 4 minutes of a conversation that went past maybe 20 or 30 minutes. Yeah. But it was enough to see the interaction between these two and referring to him as buddy instead of by his official last name or something like an officer normally would refer to you when you're being pulled over for something. This is not a legal issue right now, but it is something that goes beyond legal in that it's about authority. What was expressed, I think, by those officers was the best kind of authority, the kind that says, we got people for you. We've got solutions. We've got answers to whatever's going on for you right now, and we'll walk you through it. That's the attitude we hear in this whole conversation.
It's a very human issue.
Yes, it is.
And they treated this young man very humane, were generous and tender with him, and just showed a great deal of love and concern for him.
We don't get any more details about Joe's background or what came of his situation, if it got better afterwards. We don't know. All we know is that for that moment, he had people that have power that exercise real moral authority in gentleness.
Well, I love that the officer said to him, you know, you don't have to go anywhere. Here's a phone number. If you want to just sit here in your car for the next however long you need, call this number if you just need to talk to somebody. There's somebody on the other end that's going to answer this phone, that's going to sit there with you, that's going to listen, that's going to guide you through some ways to encourage you, to help your mental health, give you some tools maybe. They were so willing to help. And I love that they had these tools ready to hand out because I think often we don't realize that there are tools for us out there. Every state in the United States, every county in the United States has mental health tools that are available to us if we just have the phone number to call them. There are crisis centers all over the country.
And there's national crisis hotlines, too. Mm-hmm. We did a great interview with a friend of ours named Brian Argo, who was behind the push to nationalize a helpline, which was reaching a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. And we'll put a link to that program in our notes for this podcast. But they are out there. In fact, if you have any issues right now with depression or things that are just dragging you down so far, you know you need some help, but you don't know who to talk to. We can refer you to people. So don't be afraid just to drop us a line, even email at info@compassionradio.com or through our website. We'd love to hear from you. We'd be happy to forward you on to people we know wherever you live or within reach of you that might be useful to you in whatever situation you find yourself. Or maybe you know somebody who's hurting right now and you don't know what to do for them. We have people that are more than happy to talk through that stuff with you and to come up with a plan that makes sense and doesn't endanger yourself or the person you're trying to help. That's real important, too, is knowing what best to do, what best not to do in situations like this. Well, let's go ahead and make the pivot to a spiritual focus on this issue. What's really underlying compassion in the situation? Is there something that goes deeper when you start talking about relationship with Christ than would just happen in the normal world at large? Well, I don't know if it's deeper or not, but the officers we saw in this video express a whole lot of the sensitivity and discernment that we would say is important to Christian living. So maybe they're believers, I don't know, but they had it. They obviously had compassion in the way it's supposed to come, which is for the person, not just in general, like some amorphous thing, like we just try to be nice to people, but sees the person in the situation and sums up what the need is quickly and moves toward it, not away from it. That's what compassion in the Word of God really means. So I want to commend those officers. The scripture is something we've all heard like a zillion times, I think, on bumper stickers about what it means to stick together in difficult situations. It's from Proverbs 17:17. It's one of those little, as I would say, bumper stickers crammed in with a whole bunch of other bumper stickers in this chapter. Motifs, little sayings that can be slapped anywhere and always be true.
They're called memes now.
Yeah, they are. This is the Bible's memes here in chapter 17 of Proverbs. But the verse says simply, and I'll read it from the voice translation this time, a true friend loves regardless of the situation, and a real brother exists to share the tough times. It's also been said in more formal language.
A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity.
Yeah. I've had friends in my life that seem as close as brothers or even closer than that at times. because God makes the family of God do things that our natural born families weren't capable of doing at the time. That does not mean that our families are not needed. The word of God here is making sure that we know that whatever our circumstances, the friends and the families, whoever those families are, have their roles to play. And when you're in a real crisis, you're going to need more than one.
Well, and I think it's true that you can count anyone your friend at any time.
You can choose.
That's a choice that you make. These police officers made a choice to go into this encounter with this young man as a friend. They didn't go in as authoritarians, even though they had every right to use their authority there. They didn't go in suspicious or drawing their weapons. They went as friends. They went as concerned fellow humans, which is a choice that we all have to make. We all get to make that choice every day when we encounter people out in the world. We can do that. We can be the friend that loves regardless of the situation, even if it's a stranger. We can count them as a friend. We have that authority within ourselves.
And that's the question that Jesus asks at the end of his story of the Good Samaritan. He says, who was the friend to this person in need? And the religious people can't bring themselves to say the kind of person or the identity of that person. They just say the one who helped the man in distress. They can't even acknowledge that the one that helped is someone that they don't want to look up to. They want to look down on that person, which is a whole nother layer of issues.
Right. That's another story to go through.
And we've done a pretty interesting program on that before. We'll probably repeat that in the future.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of this year? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are.
And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
The story that we're dealing with here is a Good Samaritan story, right?
Yeah.
The officers are able to see him for his need and his situation in context. I think the most dangerous thing for any of us, whether we have power like police have on the streets, or whether we just have proximity because we're near something happening, is to mystery the situation. Now, if someone's having a crisis right in front of us, that's bad. And there are things that have to be done right away to help. That does not mean that the crisis is about you. And a lot of people, I think, walk in situations getting frightened by someone else's crisis. They're not willing to draw close because, one, they don't know what to do and they've never been faced with it, or they've seen what happens when things go wrong, or you try to help somebody who is in dire straits or is addicted to something and doesn't respond to good counsel or something. But they have prejudged the situation because of either fear or bad experience. I do believe that the Spirit of God can help us find out if there's a third way.
Yeah, I was going to say there has to be real wisdom exercised here.
Yeah. And there are times when we just shouldn't get close. But there's a whole lot more, I would think, where we should take the step of saying, okay, God, I'm here. You put me here. What next? Do I need to call somebody? Do I need to sit here still? Do I need to shut up and just listen? What is it in the circumstance that is going to be you working through me?
Yeah. What do you want me to know, God, about
the
situation?
And what do you want me to do next?
And what should I do next? The second part of this verse is so key to me. It says, a real brother exists to share tough times.
Yeah.
like you said, blood-related family can be our real brothers and sisters, but it can also be unblood-related family members.
The blood of Christ family.
The blood of Christ family, or just fellow humans. You know, we're all connected here on this earth, and we have to see ourselves connected to others. We can't live in isolation. We can choose to, but it's so unhealthy. When we choose to be a real brother or sister in situations for people around us, we can help bear the burden, bear the load for those who are experiencing this kind of crisis, like these officers did. They were holding up the arms of this young man who was so weary from the world, so overwhelmed with sadness and anxiety that he couldn't hold himself up. They were willing to do that. Yeah. That's what we, as believers especially, should be willing to do for those around us that we can see, if we look, that are hurting in this way.
Let me ask you a question about the way you first read this when you were a kid, probably. When you hear about a friend and a brother, you have these two different scenarios there that are kind of doubled together in one saying. How many people do you see in the story that's in front of you in that verse?
Well, two.
Okay.
Well, maybe three if you count yourself. But a friend would be one person, and then the brother would be the other.
When I read it as a kid, it was like, well, that's one situation. This is another situation.
Right.
You got a friend over here. You got a brother over here for your need because you're the person in need.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're not the person who's suffering at the moment, but you're walking into a situation where someone in front of you is? And what if you are all alone in facing the situation in front of you and you are lost about what to do next? What would you need? I would think that the scripture applies to that situation just as much. We have dear friend Peter Rosenberger, who runs the Ministry of Hope for the Caregiver, and his radio program broadcasts every week. And he deals with those who are constantly on the front line, the point person for someone else who is suffering or is going through a long-term illness or other ailment that's preventing them from living the life that they really want to live. And there are so many of us, millions now, that are full-time caregivers. What if you're the person that's stepping into this for the first time and you have no idea what to do next? Well, you probably need some friends and you need some people to stand with you and stick with you when things get tough. Because if you're the one holding the bag with a parent or a child or somebody who depends on you completely and you're the only line of defense for them, that can get real lonely real fast. So what would a friend be for you in that situation? Well, a friend is there what?
Regardless of the situation.
So whatever situation you're walking into, a real friend says, well, I was your friend yesterday. Now today, am I changing that just because you're having difficulties with what you're dealing with? Of course not. A real friend says, I'm there with you, buddy.
The message says, friends love through all kinds of weather.
Yeah. And we'll weather the weather, whatever the weather, whether we like it or not.
Exactly.
A brother is built for, is born for, is set in place in a special relationship with you to face adversity with you. Or for you, stand guard for you while you're doing something important. It's like soldiers standing over the medics while they attend to someone who's wounded. Their backs to the wounded and the medic, facing out any threats that might be coming their way. That is what a friend, a real friend, or a real brother does in adversity. Are we the kind of people that if we see a friend of ours dealing with this kind of stuff with somebody that they know, do we rush toward the situation and say, how can I help?
The message also says, families stick together in all kinds of trouble. And it occurs to me that as believers, as followers of Jesus, as image bearers of Christ, as sons and daughters of God, we have been placed in a family.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a family that is a kingdom-minded family, and we stick together in all kinds of trouble. And sadly, we don't see that a lot of times in churches or even biological families. But that is the way God intended it.
Yeah.
God intended us to bind together and live in unity. Scripture tells us they will know us by the way we love each other and the way we love others. These police officers, like you said, honey, we don't know if they are believers or not, but they exhibited such a kind of kingdom love that it just pours out. You know, I see it all over this story. And that is a kind of example that we as believers, as church members, as the body of Christ should follow.
We are given that opportunity every single day if we're willing to ask God to show it to us. I look outside the window while we're recording this program, and I've seen hundreds of cars drive by in the past hour we've been recording. How many crises are happening to the people that have passed by in that hour? There's enough stuff going on in this world that people carry a lot of stuff. I'm really proud in this story of this young man who stopped, who pulled over, and didn't put other people at risk while he had a crisis. He stopped and he called somebody. He had already made the right kind of efforts to reach out. And you know, somewhere out there, off camera in the story, is a mother who just got off the phone with her son.
Yeah, and she's very grateful.
And you know she's praying hard. I mentioned our friend Brian Argo earlier in the program, so I'll wrap up with the story that involves him. He, as many of our listeners might remember, had one of the worst cases of COVID that had hit the Phoenix area, and he barely survived it. In fact, he was, as far as I know, the longest person on a ventilator in the country that survived the disease. And he's back, but he's fighting hard for a lot of things. But he loves Jesus, and he has given himself to serve him. And while he was in that hospital, while his wife was scrambling to get things done left and right and trying to keep the insurance going and the family running, she couldn't do everything. And she was out of resources and out of time. And another friend of ours found out about Brian and happened to be in town that day, and they called. And these are old friends that go back to the early days of our ministry life when we were just teenagers getting into our 20s. They simply asked, "We're here. Can we do anything for you?" And his wife was brave enough to say yes. She had a bookcase sitting at home that she had not assembled yet, had no time to do it, and had to get some stuff moved around in the house, couldn't figure out how to get it done. She said, "Just go to my house, build a bookcase. That would be great." So they did. Turns out, looking back on it about a year later, that was a great relief for Karen. She had no idea what to do about getting the house put back together and getting this thing assembled. It was just a drag on her mind, something as simple as assembling an IKEA bookshelf. But when you're overloaded already, little things can be crises too. Mm-hmm. So she asked the other friends of Brian, who she'd never met, just to do this favor for them. And they did. And it solved a problem that day. But it also built a kind of faith confidence into both Brian and Karen that, you know what? God's got this. He's got the big things, and he's got the small things. And on a real hot day in Phoenix, Arizona, he had someone set aside ready to go to assemble a bookcase for them just to get the house cleaned up.
Yeah.
They got it done because God was in them, and he reached out through them to the people that were in need. I would encourage our listeners to think today, is there something that God really would love to use me to do? Right now, right here, in my environment, my town, can you help me make time available to help? And if so, ask him. Mm-hmm. And then, as he inspires you by his spirit, call somebody that might give you an idea of somebody that might have a need. It is stunning at times when we hear the stories, people saying, "I was not expecting this, but when I called so-and-so, I suddenly learned of," and they had no idea why they called this person in the first place,
right.
Except the spirit moved them to do it. Yeah, God, he's a matchmaker, need for gift. He wants to give himself freely to others, and he has a way of getting us right in front of the people that need it.
Yeah.
He just does. And if we don't trust that, we haven't tried it. I don't know of anybody who has tried this, who has prayed this way, that has not come back with some kind of a story saying, "Hey, I was not expecting this, but man, this is how God moved." I want us and our audience to be those kind of people day by day. So that's my encouragement to our listeners. And you, my dear, have the final say.
I guess I just want to reiterate what I said earlier. This is the way God calls us to live. This is the way we are instructed in Scripture to live our lives as believers, to go that extra mile, to throw that coat over someone who needs it, to hand out water. All the things that Jesus spoke about in the Gospels are exhibited right here in this story. And that's the way we should live. I'm going to give two resources here that can be very helpful if you are in a mental health crisis. One of them is from Death to Life Revolution. The website is d2lrevolution.com, but you can also text D2L to 91627 to get help. Someone's always going to be there to help you, and they'll contact you by phone. There's another that is a mental health crisis text line that you can contact if you're experiencing any kind of mental health crisis. You text the word HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741 from anywhere in the United States at any time. It's a 24/7. There's a live trained crisis counselor there. They'll receive the text and they'll respond immediately so that they can call you or you can call them. Please use these resources if you need them.
And if that means you're suddenly finding yourself at the end of a snowy road with a young kid who needs a hug, maybe you'll be the next person to do something like that, that you know was a divine appointment. Friends, thanks for joining us on Compassion Radio 360 for this week. We got much more coming up next week, of course. And Monday, as always, will be our Compassion Radio Chasing the Word broadcast as we wrap up our series on the Songs of Ascent. We'd love to see you then. Have a great weekend. Thank you for being a friend.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do.
So call us today at 1-800-868-2478.
And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
Or give online at CompassionRadio.com.
We need you, friend, so contact us today.